Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
One of the things that sort of impacted me on Sunday evening, and I was giving this message about the light, was that you can never get far away from the central truth of redemption, which is the forgiveness of our sins. That this is always so relevant, no matter where people are in their walk with the Lord, that people need forgiveness, they need to know they are forgiven, and they need to know the complete nature of that forgiveness. That to God, once that forgiveness has taken place, is as if those things had never happened. That's the amazing nature of God's forgiveness. Completely eradicates those events as if they hadn't taken place. And then, you know, those who for some reason or another have slipped into disobedience, rebellion, even backsliding, there is always the need to know the way back. It's always the same way, isn't it? Repentance, forgiveness, renewed faith in Jesus as our Savior. And then, of course, the need to forgive others. It hit me as I was preparing for Sunday evening, as came out in the message, that to fail to forgive others is rebellion against God. Because if you do that, you raise yourself above God, say, well, God may be prepared to forgive, but I'm not. And that raises you above God, and that's why Jesus said, if you do not forgive your brother, then your Father will not forgive you. And the reason he says that is because in refusing to forgive, you have raised yourself above God. That's rebellion. And I'd never quite seen it in that way before, seen all kinds of other aspects of rebellion. But that sort of really hit home. So we praise God for those lives he touched Sunday. I hear of others that came to the Lord who didn't come forward. So a lot was happening. And we give God the glory for that. But it's the simple message of why Jesus was sent. He was sent to die. Basically, he was sent to die. Which is amazing, because as God, you don't think of God as dying. And that was the problem for the Jews, of course. They couldn't conceive of their Messiah dying. So to most Jews, he could not therefore have been the Messiah. But of course, he died, but he didn't die. He died, certainly physically, but he didn't expire, didn't cease to exist, just as is the case with us. And just a very sort of concise message for us this morning, that is that Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. Which means you have been sent to die. Basically, as he was sent to die, you have been sent to die. To die to self in order to live for him. So we say with Paul, and this has been a key scripture this year, I have been crucified with Christ. So the good thing for us is that the death has already taken place. And so we will not be hurt by the second death. Somebody thought hallelujah, but it's too early in the morning to say it. But it's wonderful, therefore, that we have been given this lease of life. That every day of our lives now is a gift from God. Every day is a day to be used for His glory. And as it's Christmas, I thought I'd bring you a message that has got absolutely nothing to do with Christmas. You've just had the Christmas bit, born to die. But we were talking a couple of weeks ago, I was on Sunday, comparing the apostolic church with the traditional church. And yesterday I wrote a little booklet that we're going to print and reproduce and distribute to everybody at the vision meeting on the 14th, I think it is, of January. And so I've sort of did that comparison, but I expanded the thing a bit. And in the last part of it, I've spoken about what the essential nature of an apostolic church is. And this, of course, relates very closely to what I've just said, because we have been called to die to living for ourselves in order to live for the fulfillment of this. Because God has called us into an apostolic work, has brought us into leadership and into ministry, in that work, this is what we have died to self for, so that we can see this purpose of God reproduced in our lives. And it's not sort of new stuff for you, but it's just bringing a certain number of elements together, and you'll see that God has been speaking to us about these different aspects during recent months. So I'll just go through them very quickly. First of all, an apostolic people are a governing people. Now, that means that we have to express the rule and the reign of Christ's kingdom. And this is why God has been speaking to us about our submission to His authority, because we know you can only be in authority if you are under authority. So our ability to govern as a church so that the locality, the nation will be impacted, and even nations will be impacted, our ability to govern is dependent upon our submission to His authority. The more we are submitted to His authority, the more we will be able to govern, the more effective we will be in that government. Because you can only govern by exercising authority. When you govern, you put into place things that will actually change the circumstances and even change the nation. And I believe that one of the things God wants to do, especially through this prayer initiative, this 24/7 prayer initiative, which will sort of become fully realized in a few weeks' time, is He wants us to learn how to govern in prayer. This will not just be praying, you know, through these 12 gates for a whole variety, a whole sort of spectrum of things. It will be learning to govern in each of those areas. And therefore to dictate in the name of Jesus what is to take place. And of course, you can only pray and govern like that if you are praying in the Spirit, sensitive to what the Spirit is wanting to do. And this is the amazing thing about God, that the government is upon his shoulders. And of the increase of the government, there should be, of his government, there should be no end. But he has chosen to govern through a people of faith and prayer. And so he wants to see us exercising that authority more and more in prayer, in what we speak over our circumstances. Secondly, an apostolic people are a breakthrough people. Now, we've often stated that, but it means that we have the responsibility to break through to new places in God, to lead the way. Now, that's always been our call. It's the call on the apostle and therefore on the apostolic work here. And over the years, we've seen this again and again and again, that God does things here, which then during the 2 years or so following get worked out all over the nation. But the pace is hotting up. And I believe that it's going to be even more important in the year ahead that we keep breaking through with God so that others will break through with him all over the nation. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, it's a spiritual reality. And you can't understand spiritual realities. There are a certain number of, if you like, spiritual laws or principles that God has put in place. And that is one of them. And so we are going to be breaking through with God in more and more ways, of people that therefore seek him with all of our hearts, because we've died to ourselves, so we're seeking him for his purposes. Then thirdly, we're a revival people. You can't be apostolic without having revival as at the very heart of your intentions, of your desires, of what you know to be God's purpose. Now, it is amazing, but there, in the church generally, in this and other nations, there is a great resistance to revival. You will find that there are many theologians and church leaders who say they don't believe in revival. And they don't believe in revival because revivals don't last. But you see, it's that unbelief that is at the heart of the church's problems. Because revival is always God's purpose. And actually, in God's best purposes, revivals would never end. Because a revival is simply coming back to the life that God intended anyway. That to use Watchman Nee's terminology, if we're not living in revival, we're living a subnormal Christian life. The normal Christian life is what we call revival. So this is going to be a year of revival. Just giving you a few things to pray through over Christmas, you see. And what does that mean? It simply means that we come back to God's best. That we come back into that relationship with him where he can use us in the most powerful way that it's possible for us to be used. It means, therefore, that we're not content with where we are, but we're reaching out for what God wants to release amongst us. Amen? Then fourthly, an apostolic people are a people that live in the abundance of God and therefore expect the harvest, because those are the outworkings of revival. A revival people are living in the abundance of God's holiness, in the abundance of his life, in the abundance of his glory. It seems there's no end to what God will do and the way in which he will reveal himself. And therefore, it is so easy to see God working in very, very powerful ways. That's what it's like in revival. And I don't know about you, but I'm reaching out for that. Because I don't believe it's a long way in the future. I believe it's where God is taking us. And it isn't that you wait for that to happen, but you move towards it. And you let God work in you what he needs to work in you so that that abundance and that harvest can happen. So, you know, God has been speaking all this year about abundance and harvest. That word carries over to next year. Just because one year ends, the abundance doesn't end, nor does the harvest end. In fact, next year is going to be a year of greater abundance and of much greater harvest. But I believe Sunday evening we just saw a little bit of an encouragement there, because it's a long time since we've seen so many people respond to a basic gospel message like that. So, praise God. I mean, I can think back to faith camps where you could be absolutely certain that on the first night, on the Saturday night, at least 50 people would get saved in the main meeting. Without fail, they would come forward and they would be people that genuinely needed to be born again. It was as if, you know, if you came to faith camp and you weren't already a Christian, you got zapped on the first night. Now, we need to see something even greater than that. This coming faith camp. Because we're not living in the past, we're reaching out for that which lies ahead. So we are going to have a year of harvest. But of course, that means that as an apostolic church, we evangelize. I don't think there's a more misunderstood word in the Christian vocabulary than evangelize. Because people think to evangelize is to bring someone to Christ. And it means a lot more than that. The word evangelize, if you translated it literally, it would mean you gospelize, which means you make a disciple, which is why the commission is go and make disciples. You don't just lead people to Christ, you gospelize them, you make them people of the word. You make them disciples, as Jesus gospelized the 12. Jesus evangelized the 12. It took him 3 years. You see, that's really the work of the evangelist. Not just, you know, hands raised, oh, I see your hand, we count the numbers. I mean, that is not, strictly speaking, evangelism. You won't find anything like that in the New Testament. Nothing about making acts of commitment, nothing about asking Jesus into your heart, nothing about raising hands, nothing about making a commitment. Because, you see, in the New Testament, it was understood that to evangelize is a whole process whereby you gospelize someone and make them people of the word. You make them disciples who follow Jesus. So really, the job of the evangelist has been cheapened. In the modern church, the evangelist is someone who's got that particular anointing to confront people where they need to respond. But his job isn't finished when they have responded. They have responded so that then they can be evangelized. Hello? Because pastors are usually not so good at doing that. Because, you know, even after that first act of commitment, there's all kinds of confrontational things that need to happen so that a person is led to a thorough repentance. Otherwise, they will not be effective disciples. You've heard me say again and again that the quality of the disciple is dependent upon the depth of repentance. And that's all about evangelizing people. Then fifthly, A revival people are a people of faith, love, and hope, an Omega people. Like God has been speaking to us recently. So, yes, you can only see the purposes of God affected by faith. It has to be faith working through love. But then the decisions we make now and the attitudes that we have are dependent upon the fact that we are a people of hope. We make the decisions now. We purify ourselves now because of the hope that we have. We live close to the Lord now because we understand that our future destiny is actually affected by the way we live now, by the decisions we make now, by what we choose to do now. The reward will be dependent upon what we do. It's not your entrance into heaven, which is by grace alone, but what happens to you eternally in heaven is affected by the decisions you make now and what you do now as an Omega people. Then sixth, an apostolic people are a people that live in the particular grace and favor of God. And the reason for that is they're given over to the purposes of God so completely that more of His grace can abound among them. Now, I believe that where we are now in Kingdom Faith is an indication that we need to give ourselves over to God more fully, because then we will see more grace. And we need to see more grace, more abundance, more of the activity of God than we do. I mean, we've had a great year. This has been a really good year. But the thing that I live with all the time is the knowledge that God could always do far more. I mean, all the way through my ministry, I praise God for the fruit there's been, but I've never been satisfied because I've always known well, God could have done much more through my ministry than He has. And the only one who prevents Him from doing much more is me. That if I give myself over to God more fully, He will do much more. Because the measure you give is the measure you get back. So the more fully I am prepared to give of myself to Him, the more He will do in me, the more He will do through me, and the more He will be glorified in my life. This is the whole process of revival. In other words, there will be more grace, there will be more favor on my life. But you see, it's not just a question of what grace and favor is upon the leadership, but what grace and favor is upon the body. Because what we're talking about as an apostolic people is the corporate anointing. The leaders lead the way, but then the whole body needs to move with the leaders. And we who are in on the team are part of that core leadership group that are to lead the way in Kingdom Faith, not just for the church here, but for the college, for all the relating churches, for all the influence that we have as Kingdom Faith, in a much wider way. And then seventh, the two words that Clive mentioned on Sunday, that an apostolic people are an effective and fruitful people. But you see, what's going to make us effective and fruitful is that we govern, we break through, we are living in God's revival power, experiencing His abundance, seeing His harvest, a people of faith, a people of love, a people of hope, a people that are so given over to God that we see more of His grace and favor so that we are effective and fruitful. the whole thing ties together, doesn't it? And I just finish with, like I do in that little booklet, with quoting of Paul. I do not claim to have received all that God has for me. Neither have I yet been made perfect. But I am always moving forward to take hold of everything that Christ Jesus had planned to give me when he laid hold of my life. My brothers, I know I have not yet appropriated everything, but I maintain my focus. So I forget what lies behind me in the past, and I reach out with longing for what lies ahead. Yes, I press on towards my goal, which is to gain the prize that God has for me when he calls me home to heaven in unity with Christ Jesus. If you are mature in the way you view spiritual things, then you will think in the same way. If you believe differently, God will bring the correction you need and make everything clear to you. That's the truth version, which you're all longing to get your hands on. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Now let's just pray over that scripture that I've just read. I do not claim to have received all that God has for me, neither have I yet been made perfect, but I'm always moving forward. Can you just respond to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to move forward with you. In this coming year, I'm thankful, Lord, for the days of rest that I'm going to have over Christmas, New Year. But Lord, I realize that those times of rest are to refresh me physically so that I am ready to come back with renewed energy, with revitalized vision, hallelujah, to move forward with you in your purposes. So thank you, Lord. You don't want me to get involved in so much activity over these coming days that I come back more exhausted than I am now. But Lord, I'm going to come back refreshed and ready to move forward to take hold of everything that Christ Jesus had planned to give me when he laid hold of my life. Can you thank the Lord that he wants you to take hold of everything that he planned for you? There's so much that he planned for you that you haven't yet taken hold of. And next year is going to be a year when we take hold of more and more and more of what he has for us. It's all ours in Christ, but we're going to take hold of it. Because whatever we take hold of can then be expressed in our lives and in our corporate life together. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know that I have not yet appropriated everything, the word says, but I maintain my focus. Come on, can you thank the Lord that you're going to maintain your focus? Even over during these days of holiday, you're still going to maintain your focus, and you're going to come back not to get your focus back, but because you're still focused. Hallelujah. And you're hungry for more of God. Yes, yes, yes. So I forget what lies behind me in the past. Come on, just thank the Lord that everything is under the blood. All the things you want to forget, but even the blessings we forget now, because that which lies ahead is greater than that which has been. Hallelujah. So Paul says, I reach out with longing for what lies ahead. Come on, just even now in your heart, reach out with longing. Lord, I'm reaching out with longing for what lies ahead. I know that greater things lie ahead. I know there's more of you, a greater revelation of you that lies ahead. I thank you, Lord, that there's more of your anointing to be released in my life, and that lies ahead of me. I thank you, Lord, that there's much greater effectiveness and fruitfulness that lies ahead of me. And I want to take hold of everything for which you've taken hold of me, so that, Lord, I can see that which lies ahead being realized, being outworked, being fulfilled in my life. And I give you glory. I give you honor. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, can you tell the Lord, I'm pressing on towards the goal, Lord. I'm pressing on towards the goal. I'm not just going with the crowd. I'm not just here to make up the numbers. I'm not just one of a group. I personally am pressing on towards the prize. Hallelujah. I want the prize. I want your prize in my life, Lord. I'm running to win the race. Oh, Lord, I thank you that that prize is awaiting me in heaven in unity with Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the God who rewards those. Hallelujah, who faithfully serve you. And Lord, I want that heavenly reward. I want that to be a great reward because I've allowed you to use me to the maximum. That's what I want, Lord. I want you to use me to the maximum. I want, Lord, for you to work in my life and through my life in the best possible way in this coming year. I want what you do in the future to transcend whatever has been in the past. I want, Lord, to move on from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.